Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Many Worlds, a cover story from the December to January 2017, so it's December 2016 to January 17, Cosmos Magazine, an Australian general science magazine. A surprising number of physicists entertain the possibility of other universes. So just how far-fetched an idea is it, Dan Falk investigates. So just to tell you, I'll explain a bit more about my operation, sort of brain injuries, and actually the amount of cognitive rehabilitation I have to do in order to get back up to speed. So that's what essentially all this reading and podcasting is about, and to see how far I can push it. And so hopefully, as I read more, I'll get more fluent. David Wallace was still at high school when he first encountered the notion of parallel universes. To a British teenager hooked on science fiction and physics, it sounded a weird but cool, he recalls. 20 years later, the topic still absorbs him. A professor specialising in the philosophy of physics at the University of Southern California, he recently penned a book titled The Emergent Multiverse. For some people, the idea that there was more than one universe out there sounds absurd. Sure, it's fair game for writers of Star Trek and perhaps even philosophers, but how can it be a serious scientific idea? In fact, it was first put forward some 60 years ago by the very serious physicist Hugh Everett III, who proposed the idea of many worlds as a way of making sense of quantum mechanics, the strange science of subatomic world. My godfather. Everett's idea was not well received, but by the time Wallace was wrestling with quantum mechanics in his PhD student 4 decades later, the idea had been resurrected. What was a revelation to me was realizing that parallel worlds weren't something an extra that you added to quantum mechanics. They were in the mathematics of the theory all along, and it was realizing that that got me thinking, okay, this is probably right, or at least this is the best route that we have at the moment to try to make sense of this. Quantum mechanics isn't the only theory that leads scientists to idea of parallel universes. String theory, an attempt to stitch gravity into the equations that govern the quantum world by proposing existence of 11-dimensional vibrating strings, also suggested that our universe is just one of many vast cosmic landscape. Meanwhile, inflation theory holds that our universe inflated as a bubble of space-time shortly after the Big Bang. If it happened once, then perhaps it happened many times and is still happening. Of the various paths to parallel worlds, the one that emerged from quantum mechanics, now referred as many worlds, was first out of the gate. It's rooted in mathematics and would be the first time the esoteric language unveiled a hidden reality. The Big Bang black holes, it wouldn't be the first time. Big Bang black holes and the concept of curved space, for instance, all first emerged from the scroll of mathematical equations. Now, evidence they exist is virtually bulletproof. We can hear the echo of the Big Bang, the cosmic microwave background radiation. Oh, I dislike that. With radio telescopes. Just last year, we detected gravitational signatures of colliding black holes. The Uber drivers would be lost if Google Maps didn't take account of Einstein's curved space-time. So can we find any evidence of the existence of many worlds? Probably not, but advocates say that's not a deal-breaker. They consider many worlds to be just one of the predictions of quantum mechanics, a theory whose other predictions have been exhaustively proved. Go, quantum mechanics, the best theory of the universe. Because of that, a surprising number of skeptical physicists are willing to entertain the reality of multiple worlds. Clues to the weirdness of our universe began emerging in the early 1900s when the founders of the quantum mechanics, including Max Planck, Albert Einstein and Werner Heisenberg in Germany, along with Niels Bohr in Denmark, began to investigate the structure of the atom. It was Planck who showed that the energy came in discrete bundles of quantum. You're allowed to say that, not quantums. Einstein backed him up by showing that light radiates its energy as bundles we now call photons. Yet, for 100 years before that, light was understood as a wave. Now scientists were forced to think of light as both a particle and a wave. Oh, God. Then, in 1920, a young Frenchman named Louis de Broglie argued a type of behaviour wasn't restricted to light. Any kind of particle display the duality. Oh, my God, Father. He described the idea of matter waves in his doctoral thesis in 1923. The counterintuitive motion almost cost him a degree until Einstein gave him a nod of approval because he had buckets of money, the little Belgian. Bizarre as the idea was, the Austrian physicist Erwin Schrödinger nevertheless found he could describe matter waves with the mathematical equations called called the wave function. Yeah, that's a wave function is a mathematical equation. That's, I'll grant you that. Schrödinger's equation did not describe a world that we experience. Tracking a subatomic particle was nothing like describing the position and velocity of a fired cannonball. Rather, his wave function described particles as some sort of statistical Copenhagen school, my godfather. All one could do was describe the likelihood of where one would find them. Oh, God. Schrödinger attempted a grasp on the reality of imagining matter waves as being something like smeared out particles. He just objected to the Copenhagen school so much. Of all the tests of quantum mechanics conducted over the years, that's a really misleading. All the tests of quantum mechanics conducted over the years, the one that sheds the most light on the weird science was the decidedly low-tech double-slit experiment back in the 19th century. The British polymath Thomas Young first used it to show the nature of light, wave nature of light. Aim of beam of light had a sheet with two thin regular rectangular slits cut into it. The light passes through the slit and projects onto a screen. It's really something I think most people should just observe. I think it's just such a wonderful thing. But what you see in the screen is not two bars of light, rather an interference pattern, an array of light of dark patches, the signature pattern produced by interfering waves, similar to the pattern produced by ripples in the pond. The peaks of bright patches were the crest of the waves where the light waves meet the other crest. The dark patches where the crest meets the troughs, cancelling each other out. That's fine for light, already known to behave like a wave, but what about for bits of matter? The work of de Broglie hinted that tiny particles such as electrons would behave in identical fashion. That's exactly what the American physicists Clinton Davidson and Lester Germer, working at Bell Labs, found, or they were working at Bell's Lab, found when they accidentally performed a version of the double slit experiment. I suppose it's a nickel crystal. The original intention was to figure out the structure of a nickel crystal by firing electrons at it and measuring the angles at which they scattered off the surface. Instead of revealing something about the nature of the crystal, they revealed something about the nature of electrons. The crystal structure provided the equivalent of tiny slits, and the travelling through them... They bounced off them. The electron beam produced an interference pattern, just as light waves do. That mistake's actually carried through into the HSC exam so many times. The experiment was an undeniable proof of the bizarre reality that continued to shake physics ever since. Oh, God. Anyone who's not shocked by quantum theory has not understood a single word, said Bohr. Well, okay. How can an electron, a particle of matter, be a wave? Stanford physicist Leonard Susskind expressed his discomfort this way on a YouTube. A rock is an example of a particle. An ocean wave is an example of waves. Now, someone's telling you a rock is like an ocean wave? What? Well, God. This is so depressing. Things get even more bizarre. More sophisticated versions of a double slip experiment were carried out using an electron gun with a rate of firing slowed down to only one electron hit the slits. Yet over time, the interference pattern emerged on the phosphor coat of the screen behind it. This was a single electron was passing through both slits at the same time, the interfering with itself, so to speak. The ability of the two at the same times was called superposition. Well, yeah, my friend, if you actually look at the phosphor, it's itself a wave detector. It's a wave. If you actually make the detector a wave, it's a lot easier to understand. Somehow it's just one more of the amazing properties of the wave function. Okay. Not only was it an electron to be thought as a haze of probability, that nobody understood, it could exist in two places at the same time. This is grinding. But what happens to the electron haze of probability when it hits the phosphor screen? Suddenly all the probabilities are collapsed into one point. Or it's the phosphor has a wave function. It's as if the ocean wave at the moment of wetting the shore suddenly shrank to wet only 1 grain of sand, something that could, about the very act of detection, led to the wave function to collapse and behave like a particle. Israeli scientists in 1998 visibly demonstrated the observer effect when a device akin to the Geiger counter was positioned to detect electrons as they approached the slits. The screen on the other side no longer recorded the electron in this interference pattern. The act of observing them produced them to having as mere particles. Oh, God. How did physicists explain this assault on our understanding of reality? One response was not to try. As Bohr put it, there's no quantum world, there's only an abstract quantum physical description. While Heisenberg offered, what we observe is not the nature itself, but nature's exposed to our method of questioning. Okay, 5 more minutes reading, we'll have to stop. In a sense, they rejected the reality of the quantum world while accepting the mathematics of the wave function accurately predicted in its behaviour in the Copenhagen school, and there was actually scuttlebuck. They actually tricked Schrödinger. He was really upset. I'll tell a story later on. And in fact, the wave function has proved to be uncannily accurately enabling us to predict the nature of chemical reactions, the development of lasers, electronics, computing, and quantum encryption methods, technologies that provide 25% of the gross US gross natural product. I think you can't got to say that. Quantum mechanics is the most important science of all time. That's me speaking. For Bohr and Heisenberg, the fact that the mathematics worked was the end of the story. They represented the so-called Copenhagen interpretation. Oh, rip my teeth out. How the heck are they getting Heisenberg in the Copenhagen interpretation? Also known somewhat snarkily as the shut up and calculate school of thought. But other physicists, including Einstein and Schrödinger, which felt there was something missing. They remained troubled about what quantum mechanics said about the nature of reality. The two camps were reprising an age-old philosophical debate about the meaning of mathematics. Is mathematics merely a useful abstraction, as the Copenhagenists argued it, or does it have a hidden reality? For decades, the Copenhagen interpretation was the only game in town. That's because they're absolute bullies. Then in the 1950s, Hugh Zeffert, working a PhD at Princeton University, issued a bold challenge. He had been wondering about the critical concept at the heart of quantum mechanics, the collapse of the wave function as a measurement was made. What exactly causes its collapse, eliminating all the probability at once? Well, you have to have it collapse if you've got a classical detector, but if you've got a wave function detector, it's all okay. That's me speaking. Apparently, after a night of drinking with friends, he came up with a radical answer. The wave function doesn't collapse. Instead, all possibilities occur, but at different universes. And that's as wacky as you get. When we make a measurement, what about the conservation of mass? The universe branches and accommodate different outcomes. And since just about any physical interaction involves a quantum process, the world is, after all, made up of atoms. The splitting, then, is happening all the time, creating an infinity of universe, each being slightly altered by the doppelganger of our own. Earth's thesis advisor John Wheeler, a respectable really man, was excited by his student's theory and travelled to Bohr's Institute for Theoretical Physics in Copenhagen with a copy of the Many Worlds thesis. Neither Bohr nor his colleagues were impressed. I wouldn't say so. Alexis Stern, an American scientist working at the Bohr Institute, described it as a theology. I think that's right. Wheeler wrote to Everett saying, "Your beautiful wave function formalism, of course, remains unshaken. But all of us feel that the real issue is the worlds that are to be attached to the quantities of the formalism." In other words, Wheeler's really good on general relativity. I don't know what he's doing in quantum mechanics. In other words, Wheeler was worried about what people might think. Everett was serious about the other worlds actually existing. In fact, Everett was serious about them. Wheeler talked to Elbert into removing references to split worlds. His thesis was eventually whittled down to a quarter of the original length. Everett acquiesced because he needed a PhD to land a job. He ended up leaving theoretical physics to take a position at the Pentagon as a weapons strategist. Oh, God. During the years later, his mathematical models looked at scenarios such as catastrophic death rate from radioactive fallout of nuclear war, helping develop the concept of mutually assured destruction. Perhaps we have Everett to thank for having any worlds at all. Still 5 minutes to go. Okay. For Wallace, the cold world atmosphere helps explain the intolerance of Everett's idea. Many labs emphasize the applied science over abstract theorizing, with an emphasis on building weapons. You had a longish period where theoretical and conceptual questions were subordinated to a very practical attitude in physics, said Wallace. But at the beginning of the 1980s, the new openness for bold, unconventional thinking took hold of the many worlds that made a comeback. This was partly because the older generation of physicists, the ones who had worked alongside Bohr, Heisenberg and the rest of the gang, had retired, died, but also were in need to understand quantum mechanics, grew ever more compelling. The boundary between quantum and classical worlds had become hopelessly blurred. What? In 1921, a team of Vienna carried out a double-slit experiment and demonstrated the black... wave-particle duality with some very big particles, buckyballs composed of 60 atoms. Oh, I'll have to look that one up. 1991. In 2013, the university did it again with a molecule composed of 800 atoms. Oh, that's an amazing thing. Quantum witnesses also entered our world with some down-to-earth applications, most notably the drive to develop quantum computers. The bits are composed of atoms that have a spin state that can either be up or down, but it turns out that they're a state of superposition simultaneously up and down. If you don't measure them and you set them up properly. Quantum computers take advantage of the superposition to perform calculations, some claim, which will be billions of times faster than conventional computers in some cases. Okay. Well, yeah, it's just, you get a quantum answer. The more the quantum computer weirdness leaps out of the textbooks into the laboratory, the less adequate the Copenhagen interpretation seems. Absolutely, it's a complete load of rot. And more willing physicists are to consider the alternatives. Of all these things, I think, brought the question of what the many worlds theory actually means back to the table, Wallace said. The idea of many worlds suffers from an obvious flaw. We may never be able to find a way to either prove or disprove their existence, therefore it's not a thing. And as the 20th century philosopher Karl Popper, a cabinet maker I found, argued, a theory has to be falsifiable to even qualify as science. But Wallace says it does not disqualify many worlds. Well, that's... thank you for setting us straight on that one. He and other proponents are quick to argue that the many worlds is a prediction of quantum mechanics. Itself probably the most exhaustively tested theory in history. There's no general principle in science or in physics, he says. Theories are postulates. Lots of stuff are bad, says Wallace. There's just a principle that says theories that postulate stuff that don't pull their weight and that don't have explanatory value are bad, like theories and other things like that. We're going for time. Going to have to see how we go on this one. And many respectful physicists say that as far as the explanatory power, many worlds is just as good as wave functions that collapse as soon as they feel they're being watched. Yeah, I think they've misinterpreted what the physicists are saying. All physicists agree that the maths of quantum mechanics tells us we have to fundamentally change our picture of reality in some way, says Michael Hall, the mathematical physicist at Griffith University in Queensland. The Everton many worlds interpretation is no better or worse than others in this regard. Oh, God. Howard Wiseman, a theoretical physicist at Hall's College at Griffith University, puts it more strongly. Many worlds is certainly an obvious interpretation of the theory. It's even arguable that it's the simplest. Until or unless we get a new experimental evidence on the matter, I think we should take all well-formulated interpretations seriously and see whether they lead scientifically and philosophically. The two Australian physicists recently published their own variation of the many worlds theory. See the box. Sean Carroll, a theoretical physicist at the California Institute of Technology, agrees. Our job as physicists is to construct a theory that does the best job of providing accurate account of observations, and then to take the theory, and then to take that theory seriously. Carroll also finds the many worlds offers the most succinct way of making sense of quantum theory. There's nothing that you have to put into quantum mechanics like to make quantum worlds, many worlds happen. To stop many worlds from happening, you have to change quantum mechanics somehow. Oh, God. In fact, that we can see the test for other universes doesn't bother many worlds enthusiasts. After all, this isn't the first time the theory of physics has predicted something that's beyond our ability to investigate. Einstein's theory of general relativity, for example, makes predictions about the interior of black holes. a realm that no human will ever enter, or at least return from. Oh, God. We accept the ideas even if we can't test them, because general relativity has been extraordinarily successful in many different realms. The champion of many worlds theories asks that we treat the predictions of quantum theory with equal seriousness. Of course, there are legions of detractors, me itself, Massimo Pigliucci, a philosopher of science at the City University of New York, is often found immersed in discussions, perhaps arguments is a better word, with Carroll over the merits of many worlds view. Both of them are prolific bloggers and neither is particularly shy. Sean keeps telling me the mathematics is perfectly clear, but it's not a question of mathematics being clear, it's a question of metaphysics being clouded. Pigliucci said, on several occasions, he's asked Carroll where exactly the parallel Massimo are located. He has never been satisfied with the answer. It seems like the whole thing is predicted and predicated on a confusion between mathematics and physical reality, says Pigliucci. But others are prepared to follow the equations wherever they lead, and if that means there is a parallel version of each of us out there, so be it. An infinite number of parallel versions is complete guff. The cosmos is a weird place, but then, as Wallace points out, nature has no obligations to conform with our expectations. Well, there you go. Here's a box, the modern meta-worlds theories. This is a adjunct to it. In February 2012, Howard Wiseman of Griffith University in Queensland was hosting a colleague, Dirk Andre Dirkberg, from the University of California, Davis. As a quantum physicist are apt to do, the conversation soon turned to wave functions that describes the behavior of particles in the subatomic world. 91 years after the mathematical description, just what was actually being described remains open to interpretation. We thought perhaps we could come up with something that would offer better simulation methods for chemical reactions, said Wiseman says, but we ended up being radical. We threw away the wave function. The jury focused on two interpretations. One was Evatt's many worlds of proposal, and the other, which states that the wave function never collapses. Instead, at the moment of measurement, the different outcomes are realized in different worlds, and that never interact with each other. Oh my God. The other interpretation, known as De Broglie-Bolham, was worked out by Louis de Broglie in 1927, must be good, and again independently by David Bloom in 1952. In this view, every particle is viewed as a real physical entity, surfing on top of a probability of, this is a guiding wave, isn't it? Both interpretations have problems, Wiseman says. Everett's theory is vague on when the world splitting took place and whether the worlds are equivalent. De Broglie-Bolham, meanwhile, has structures of Everett's theory, but labelled only one world as being real. I was excited by the idea of getting rid of those difficulties by melding the two interpretations, Wiseman explains. Wiseman's return and his colleague Mitchell Hall, a mathematical physicist at Griffith University, to help model an alternative multiple world scenarios. They were not the first to do so. Many world scenarios have been making a comeback in the last few years. What's different about the latest models is that, unlike Everett's world, they interact. For instance, William Poirier, a physical chemist at Texas Tech University, published a version in 2010. His model quantum effects arise from stresses and strains within a fluid-like continuum worlds. The version crafted by Hall, Dirkberg, and Wiseman is published in 2014 in Physical Review X. I never heard of that one. Dubbed Many Interacting Worlds, MIW, it holds that there is no wave function. Rather, the job is done by worlds just as real as our own. They are numerous but finite. Every particle in every world has a definite position and speed. My godfather. The more similar these worlds are to our own, the more strongly the particles interact with ours. Dear, so does the model take a testable prediction? Weissman says there's still a stage of validating their model to see if theory does a good job of wave functions that describe quantum effects. So far as it has exceeded in modelling the results of a double slit experiment diagram above. Good. Weissman says that they can also use it to calculate the ground state of electrons, not yet their excited states. As I said, the theory doesn't have drawbacks. That's not to say it's easy. Secretly, the number of universes are finite. In the MIW, predictions turn out to be ever so slightly different from those of standard quantum mechanics. This does bring some hope that perhaps interpretation is directly testable. The MIW model that receives plaudits from his colleagues. According to Charles Stebbins, a philosopher in physics at the University of California, San Diego, who has also come up with a theory of interacting worlds, MIW gets you back to the picture that we have had of physics for a long time, of particles interacting with each other through forces. Oh, God. And then there's a question of whether the Queensland physicists think that their model has anything to do with reality. Hall is skeptical. You need an awful lot of reality in MIW. But he adds, I'm skeptical about all interpretations. Weissman's, on the other hand, he says, is open-minded and finds MIW approach quite compelling. Well, there you have it. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.